It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As 2023 comes to a close, we explore a nonpartisan organization's top research findings. The Wisconsin Policy Forum published more than 50 reports on statewide issues this year. Join in by calling with your question, your comments on state and local government, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jason Stein is Vice President and Research Director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Good to be here.
All right. So 54 research papers and policy briefs, about 20 focus on finances for state and local government. What are researchers learning about the budget challenges facing public services in our state?
This year was a year where both state and local government were able to take on additional challenges. You know, there was a very large $7 billion general fund surplus going into the state budget this year. It led to a historic increase in state aid to local governments and at least a, you know, healthy increase in school funding, although it fell somewhat short when you combine state and local funding for schools. It fell somewhat short of inflation. So it was definitely a year where more resources went out from the state to the local level. At the same time, though, we still see some school districts and local governments that, depending on how the state chose to allocate that money, may not be doing as well. So some small towns got tremendous influxes of aid from the state budget, but let's say a community like Madison with relatively high property values and a large population did not. So it does vary by community, kind of what level of aid the local government is seeing, but statewide as a whole, on average, more.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that the state's shared revenue program was certainly one of the key developments this year. And, you know, the analysis that you did on the potential impact for communities, you also mentioned the state's big budget surplus. I wonder, how has that informed what you decide to analyze as a research organization, or how does that factor into what you decide to look at with state coffers?
No, I think probably the biggest way is we're always looking, Kate, at the problems that Wisconsinites face, whether it's our relatively high incarceration rates, or, you know, we have relatively high racial disparities for youth in education, for example, on some other metrics. You know, sometimes some years we have to look at those problems and think, you know, how can the state address them? You know, let's say challenges with our roads, and how can the state address those merely with the resources that it has right now, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that there are limits. You know, this year, I think it was more credible for us to provide some options for how spending could be increased or how taxes could be decreased because, you know, although the surplus isn't infinite, it was pretty big. And it did allow the state to take on some new challenges that it hadn't in the past.
One of the studies from the year found Wisconsin ranks last in the nation for spending on state park operations. What is driving this disparity?
You know, the biggest thing there, I mean, we do have a relatively robust park system, despite being dead last in either per capita spending on state parks or spending per visit. And, you know, what is driving that? I think more than anything, it's the fact that over the past generation, Wisconsin has pulled all of its state tax dollar support out of the park system. So, you know, in the mid-90s, let's say like 1994, state law would have required that the state pay for half of the operations with state parks with, you know, income and sales tax dollars and other general fund taxes that the state takes in. Today, the state doesn't put any tax money into its parks. The parks are purely financed with essentially with user fees. And so, you know, there's various factors, but I think that's one of the most significant ones in terms of why parks have seen such a change.
So how could Wisconsin, better fund its conservation, better fund its state parks?
Sure. Well, I mean, certainly within the park system, the state could make a policy choice to provide some tax funding to the parks. It's not a huge budget in the context of the larger state finances. So with the, you know, in the state, although we got a budget deal, the governor vetoed some income tax provisions put in by Republicans, and so and Republicans and Evers can't agree, at least so far, on whether to spend money on childcare, which is something we could also talk about. So there's still about a $4 billion projected surplus for the state at the end of this 2-year budget. So they certainly could put some money into state parks. You know, another option for policymakers would be to simply provide more services within the park system that the parks could essentially get user fees for. So an example would be in Michigan, they have cabins in their state parks. I've actually stayed at some of them. They're pretty nice. And you could do the same within some of Wisconsin parks, and that would be additional revenue for the system. You could do things like that.
Jason Stein with us, Vice President and Research Director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan think tank publishing dozens of reports this year. Be part of the conversation. Call in with your questions, share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We tour through Wisconsin Policy Forum's top research findings of the year from dozens of reports and policy briefs the organization published this year. Call in with your questions, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Wisconsin Policy Forum Research Director Jason Stein stays with us. Jason, we spoke with State Superintendent Jill Underly this week to reflect on 2023. And let's listen to Underly talking about teacher retention rates.
We don't have necessarily a recruitment problem. We have a retention problem. They'll stay in teaching for, you know, a few years, but then realize, you know, that the private sector is paying more.
So what is the Policy Forum's analysis on teacher turnover?
Well, we did an analysis of data from 2009 to 2023, and we found that teacher turnover rate in the final year in 2023, the most recent year, reached 15.8%, which was the highest in all the data we analyzed. And we found that that was generally being driven by teachers leaving public school classrooms. So that might be to at least public school classrooms in Wisconsin. So that might be to retire, to go teach in a different state, to take a different job outside of teaching, whether that's administration within a public school or, you know, something in the private sector. And so that's certainly something to watch. Turnover has been very high in many professions, not just education, and it may improve as the economy shifts, but certainly we saw a pretty substantial turnover rate in the most recent year, and it's something for policymakers to consider.
What did you find in the data about turnover among teachers of color?
So, you know, obviously the rate that I was giving you before was just a statewide average, and so it really varies. And so there's higher turnover rates for teachers of color compared to white teachers within districts serving vulnerable student populations. So, you know, student populations, students of color or low-income students, as well as small rural school districts, also had very high rates of turnover. So it's a statewide problem, but more so in some districts than others.
Let's take a call now. Jeff joining us from Superior. Hi, Jeff. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. When I look at the Wisconsin state flag or the state seal, I see, you know, the man standing there representing agriculture, but I also see shipping, maritime industry. And I wonder if you could expand on the idea of the impact of the shipping industry in Wisconsin. I know Congressman Tiffany talks about it a lot.
Jeff, thank you. Did your research insights take you into the shipping industry, Jason?
I'll be completely honest that that's not something that I have greatly looked at. I do think that we're a manufacturing and agricultural state, and so shipping is essential for us to be able to move goods, because those are both, you know, export-oriented industries. You know, for Wisconsin, I think having adequate infrastructure to be able to support those industries, it ranges from everything from barges on the Mississippi and ocean-going vessels that come in to the Great Lakes through the St. Lawrence Seaway, as well as, you know, rail and highway infrastructure. There was certainly a very healthy infrastructure spending that happened in the state budget this year within the transportation fund, but we don't really as yet have a sustainable funding method for that, because the traditional transportation and infrastructure funding tools that we have as a state, like gas taxes and vehicle registrations, have been lagging. And the state has been putting income and sales tax dollars, which would normally go to like healthcare and education, things like that. The state has been substituting those income and sales tax dollars in recent years, which has been okay because the state has been flush. But at a certain point, you know, in the future, the economy is going to tighten. The state's not going to have those excess tax dollars in its general fund, and it's going to be harder to fund infrastructure. So I think, you know, that's something that we're actually giving some thought for in 2024 at the policy forum, is looking at options for policymakers to try and resolve that long-term challenge.
Put it on the idea list for analysis in 2024. Yep. Let's turn to childcare. In May, Wisconsin Policy Forum examining the economics of early childhood education and care in Milwaukee County. What are you learning about these services?
Sure. So when we looked at this issue, we found that in Milwaukee County, annual cost of childcare at that time, 2022, $12,000 for a four-year-old, more than $16,000 for an infant. You know, that's striking because it's more expensive than in-state tuition at any University of Wisconsin campus. And it's also for the four-year-old about more than a fifth of the median household income in Milwaukee County. And for an infant, it's nearly a third. So when you think about families also needing housing, health care, food, all the other necessities of life, that makes it very challenging. At the same time, child care workers are typically paid very low. And there can also be challenges for the child care operator themselves to, you know, remain viable as a business.
And we saw Governor Evers, you know, pushing the Child Care Counts grants to help keep facilities open and as a way to help, you know, stop the tuition increases. What did your findings say there?
Well, you're exactly right that the state has been sort of propping up the system for the last several years with federal stimulus money, pandemic stimulus money. That money's running out. And so the governor and lawmakers have been talking about what is a, you know, sort of sustainable solution there. They haven't reached one. The governor has advocated for, you know, direct subsidies from the state. You know, there could be other options like tax credits for child care that would go to families. But, you know, I think there's long term, there's still something that needs to be sorted out from a policy standpoint to ensure that, you know, parents are able to drop their kids off at daycare and join the workforce where we have, you know, very low unemployment rates right now.
Jason Stein with us, research director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, as we look at key takeaways on published research in 2023. You can join in. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. On marijuana policy, researchers found half of Wisconsin residents 21 and older live within a 75-minute drive of legal marijuana access due to recreational use, becoming legal in Illinois and Michigan. What could Wisconsin policymakers take away from this research?
Sure. And this was something that we published in February, which was before Minnesota went from having legal medical marijuana to legal recreational marijuana. We now have, as you say, more than half of Wisconsinites able to drive to a dispensary within 75 minutes. I think, we don't advocate for or against legalization, but I think the reality for policymakers is to understand that much of the population of Wisconsin has pretty ready access to this drug. And, that with all the challenges of enforcement and the loss of potential tax revenues to the state that entails. So, it's one of these situations where the legislature has been very reluctant to approve the substance in Wisconsin. But at the same time, it's certainly making inroads here despite that.
In our waning seconds here, what does the Policy Forum have its eye on? What theme in 2024? Can you give us any type of hint or preview?
I think the workforce, childcare and workforce issues are going to continue to be important. We're looking at education issues in Milwaukee, as well as the possible expansion of Medicaid in Wisconsin. Under the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, the state is one of 10 that have opted not to do that out of the 50 states. And I think it's a ripe issue for policymakers to examine.
Jason, thank you for the research. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
You too. Jason Stein, Vice President and Research Director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.